Warning.
This is the most important
podcast
of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hapatarian?
So what is Hapa? So when you put together Hapatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up.
All right, let's get to it. Hey, what's happening? And welcome to the Hapatarian Show, the number one podcast hosted by a nearly autistic man. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and in the comments, tell us how much you love the Hapa ethnostate. Our guest today is a man who is the hero we need and deserve because he's going to review every single libertarian podcast out there, which just seems like he's playing his own version of Mission Impossible. It's the host of the Libertarian Podcast Review, Tyler Yonke. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Shane. Thanks for having me on. And not every podcast I'm going to review, but I'm doing a Tom Woods week coming up. And so he has 2,300 episodes. So it feels like I'm doing the 3x5 card of all libertarian podcasts. Yeah.
Wow. What made you decide to do that? You're just like, okay, I'm going to go do Tom Woods podcast next. Let's go.
I hadn't done his, and I mean, Libertarian Podcast Reviews, but my show, and I give people the autistic stars they didn't know they needed in their life. So I'm glad you're almost there. But I decided, you know, I hadn't just done a full deep interview or review of a show. And I'm like, what about Tom Woods? And I thought Tom always has these Tom Woods week, like Michael Malice week. And it's all Michael Malice type of thing. So I'm like, I'll do that. So I've recorded two of them already. I haven't, because I'm going to wait and then I'm just going to put them out each day. But the first day I was supposed to, you know, do an hour and it was 2 hours. So I had to cut it. So I've got 4 hours in the books and we're halfway there. I've got all the episodes lined out and I'm just going through them, grabbing clips and stuff. So, geez.
So I guess we'll just start there. About your podcast, like what made you decide that you wanted to take up this, as I said, a Mission Impossible type of task of reviewing these libertarian podcasts?
Well, so a few things. I'd had a podcast before bike racing. I've had it since like 2016. So I'm, you know, not new to that game, but I was like, I was kind of tired of that. And I wanted to do politics, this stuff I really want to talk about. So I'm trying to figure out, everyone has a podcast, an interview podcast or whatnot. And I really want to talk to people. So I finally decided, you know, you see those, you know, music teacher reacts type of videos or whatever. So I'm like, let's do the podcast. Let's do libertarian podcast. Plus you do their review. And then as it happened, one of the first ones I did was Clint Russell. And then he's like, hey, I'll come on your show. And so boom, Clint comes on my show. It's a good way to get people on your show. And so that was the start. And then, by the way, Clint, I was like, I'm going to smash this guy because he did some tweet about how he's going to change the world with some pot. And I'm like, I'm going to knock this guy down, this Grandmaster B, this wigger rapper guy. And then I end up liking him. So it didn't quite work out that way. But it's probably best to, I try to be nice and, you know, pump up the good things and whether, you know, is it good for normies? Is it good for the conspiracy people? That kind of stuff. Although I've done some hate watch stuff in my members area only. I haven't really released all that. And then my friend Andy, he comes on the show a lot and we do what's called a Kill podcast, which is kind of like a Kill Tony knockoff where we people come on, they have a minute to rant about something and then we make fun of them or have a chat with them and then we move them on their way and we have a next person. So that's been working out pretty good too. So that's kind of the origin. It got me on Josh Smith's show.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You were able to get on a show for that.
Yeah, that was kind of there. So,
of all the podcasts that you've done, is there one, because you said you've done like hate watches or whatever. Is there one that you kind of went in doing that and then after, like at the end of it, you're kind of like, oh, that's actually not too bad. I actually kind of like that.
So, you know, you have sometimes feelings of maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Why take these people on and just trash them unnecessarily? We did, but Andy and I did, it was Hannah Cox and she works for Fee. She has her podcast with Brad Palumbo based and she did a feminine's view or defense of men's rights. Now, I'm a family law attorney, so, and Andy's been through the courts. He's really good on this stuff too. So we watched this, and it was like a home run derby. That's how I'd put it. We knocked it out of the park, but it is behind my paywall because at some point I'm also like, I don't know that I need that smoke from all the hate that I might get for taking on these people. So it's not great because it's fine to trash me as well. And, you know, I understand that you hold yourself open to, you know, all kinds of criticism, and that's not always fun. So maybe I shouldn't be so harsh, but she did deserve it. And then I had Toad from Tower Gang, and then Adam Nutter, we did another one, and the people weren't as bad. So it's more difficult to do when they're not as cringe. Although I must say, I've had some pretty big, I've gone along and watched a bunch of videos, such as Reason interviews. And I had Dave Smith came on, and we did a whole breakdown of Michael Shermer on my podcast. He was doing an interview with Nick Gillespie. I did one with Stefan Kinsella, breaking down Phil Magnus on some bad hoppy intakes. Brian Williams on Gavin Newsom, and Clint Russell came on, and which one did we talk about with him? Oh, it was Penn Jillette with Reason's Nick Gillespie as well. So, you know, those ones have been really big episodes, and that's a little bit more fun. Matter of fact, the one with Michael Shermer, Nick Gillespie tweeted that out. Michael Shermer said, wow, these guys, and Dave said some awful things about Michael Shermer, called him an idiot. And Michael Shermer was nice. He's like, oh, you know, these guys just have different takes. Check this out. And I was like, well, it almost humbled me, right? I was like, maybe I don't need to be so mean. But it was mostly Dave Smith.
So it's all Dave Smith's fault then that you're almost got in trouble, would you say?
No, you know, it's fine, because then Nick Gillespie came up to me, or he tweeted me or DM'd me, and he's supposed to come on the show at some point. We just haven't been able to work it out, so it's not all that bad. So,
yeah, well, that's good. At least people seem to be at least understanding of where you're coming from and what you guys are talking about. So that's good. So, I mean,
well,
I think
Phil Magnus did block me and a few others, so it's not all good.
Okay.
But yes.
All right. Well, I was being a little. I jumped the gun there, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
That one. But I guess for the most part, people seem to kind of understand where you're coming from. And I think when you're in that political space, you have to know. I mean, any type of thing you're going to go to, there's always going to be some kind of backlash or some people are going to disagree with. That's just the name of the game.
Right.
And so it seems like you're just kind of taken as a, yeah, like you're saying, like kind of like a react video where you're listening or watching to a podcast, and as it's going on, you're reacting to it. Like, oh, I think what they said there was actually pretty interesting. I like that point. Or this was stupid. I don't know why they would say that. It kind of sounds stupid. I don't know why they would do that. So,
yeah. And by the way, those are easy to do to kind of, oh, Tho Bishop did one as well. And Jeff Dice was going to come on, and then something happened with him. But what I do like to do most is, you know, we review the podcast, or Andy and I will talk about stuff and play clips. Or you do like a clips of the week, and it's like some of the, you know, different people that were appearing on different podcasts, and kind of the great sound clips of the week. So, those are fun too. And, you know, for the most part, I like to take and present shows to people that maybe they haven't heard of, and, you know, or just give an overview of some of those different kind of things. So, it is more enjoyable to, do positive review things, which is the majority of what I do, but sometimes you can't help it. You know, sometimes there's just such bad takes out there that you've got to call them out, and, you know, chips fall where they may. It's not, and I'm fine if people want to trash me too. So,
what has been the worst take that you've heard where you just like, can't believe you said that?
There was, I don't remember her name, but she was on the, Reason Magazine, they have some podcasts, and I do enjoy them because they give me a lot of fodder, but also that's not the worst thing. It's kind of got me into libertarianism as well, even though I've kind of gone past it. And I'm trying to remember one of the guy's names there. He had started his own podcast. It's going to drive me crazy. Anyway, it was his first episode, and it was some, talking about people moving from New York and California to Texas and Florida specifically. And at the end, she said that New York is the most libertarian state, and specifically New York City. And it was aghast at that kind of comment. And she tried to justify it. It was so bad, I don't remember what it was. But that was, you know, people say a lot of dumb things. I do as well. But to claim that New York was a libertarian-esque, and it could have been because of they were more gay friendly or something. I don't remember her reasons why.
So I just looked it up as quick as I could while you were saying that, and it was Liz Wolf.
Okay.
I think that's who it was. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. Yeah. If I'm wrong, then I guess you can find me and punch me and all that good stuff.
I'm sure you're right. What did you say? Liz, Reason Magazine.
I looked up New York most libertarian.
Okay. I'm not wrong. I heard that. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that is kind of, I don't really get it. I don't really know. I'm sure she kind of tried to get her point across, but I don't know.
It was Peter Suderman was the guy that anyway. Okay. That, yeah. Okay. I don't know all what right. her point was. It was hilarious. That's all.
Yeah. So I guess the kind of sidetrack and to kind of talk about some of the things that are happening now that we can react to that kind of go along with your podcast format. So we can first talk about this BBC journalist who interviewed Elon Musk. And one of the things that he was saying was that, oh, there's this rise of hateful content on Twitter. And Elon was giving him some pushback. So we'll go ahead and just play the video and we'll go from there.
Content you don't like or hateful? What do you mean to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
Is that
what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content. And I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's what I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't need. Honestly,
you can't name a single example.
I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that for you feed anymore because I just don't particularly like it. A lot of people are quite similar. I only look at my following.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and
how did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen that you for you hateful content. I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And you can't give a single one.
And I'm saying
I say that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet, and yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed.
You just lied.
What I claimed was. There are many organizations that say that that kind of information is on the rise. Now, whether it has on my feed
one
or
example.
Not, I mean, I, right, and
literally
if you look at someone
one.
Like the Strategic Dialogue Institute in the UK, they will say that. So
people will say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example, and you can't name one.
Right, and as I've already said, I don't use that feed. But
how would you know that? I don't think
this is getting anywhere.
You literally said you experienced more hateful content. And then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said,
I haven't
actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example. Let's move on. We only have a certain amount of time.
Yeah, let's move on because I look like a fucking idiot after that whole exchange.
Yeah, and by the way, that was fantastic for many reasons. And I'm trying to think back of some, you know, you see these clips of like House Senate meetings or, you know, hearings and the person's testifying and, you know, the person you like is, you know, is just shooting them down and not giving them. Those are fun, easy things to look at. But this is different. This is an interview. And, you know, Elon Musk isn't he's not a newbie on these kind of things. You know, he's been through the ringer. So I'll let you ask the questions. I'm sorry. I just started taking off here. So go ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was just going to say that this guy's acting like, I mean, I don't know if he's acting like it because he's saying, well, you know, there's this, they've been saying that there's this rise of hateful content, or, you know, I've been seeing, or people have been telling me, or however. Basically, what he's saying is that he hasn't seen it himself. He's just hearing it from like second, third, fourth hand, all this quote unquote hateful shit that's on Twitter. When even before Elon was the owner of Twitter, there was hateful content on there way long before that. So yeah. You could say that, well, Jack Dorsey, why is there so much hate on this Twitter account? Like, what are you doing? What are you going to do about it?
The great thing that Elon did there is he's not letting these people just get away with their own definitions. So if they say something, he's making them define it in this sense, you know, hate speech. He's not making it necessarily define it specifically. However, he's trying to make them define it in examples. So what is it? And then this guy obviously isn't ready for this. Now, I don't know if he didn't do any kind of research, any kind of, because, you know, there are polls out there that they've said, you know, oh, there's the rise of the N-word is up. And, you know, there's some company has shown, you know, analytics showing that. So he could have had that at his at the ready. He didn't. But Elon Musk did a great thing, which is kind of the Socratic method of asking the questions and having a dialogue, which he's not, this reporter is obviously not used to. But making him, pigeonholing him into defining what he's specifically talking about, and then not letting him get away with changing the subject and moving on until he already just looked like an idiot. One, he's like, I looked on your time, on my own timeline. This is my anecdotal evidence. And then when he pushes him to give examples, he can't do it. And then reverts to, I'm not actually looking on the timeline. Okay, so you're lying one way or another, and it'd be real easy. And this is, I think, what the whole point there was. From Elon, it'd be real easy for you to, one, make something up or to make an example, because there's definitely stuff out there. But then Elon's immediate thing, and you already heard him kind of say it, was, well, so I should ban that? You know, that's not illegal speech in the US. Is that, should I ban that? So you're for me banning speech that you just don't like. And that's really where it comes down to.
Well, I guess you can, to be fair. And people were kind of pushing back on Elon when like they were asking him to bring back Alex Jones, and he said, no, yeah. I'm not going to bring back Alex Jones because he had a personal attachment to that. I mean, you could say, well, that's speech he didn't like. So,
right.
I don't know.
And look, he did give examples of reasons why he wouldn't do it. And what's interesting about, you know, not everyone's a fan of Elon, and I don't know how I necessarily feel about him other than what he's allowing Twitter to become is more enjoyable. But I remember that too. He was like, no way. And then people were kind of talking and he was like, okay, well, and he kind of changes his mind. So he's at least open to having a discussion, right? And that's what I've seen on Twitter him do, change his mind and kind of flip-flop on some things. Okay, so you're open to having your mind changed. And maybe this guy could have done it if he was smart enough to, but he got caught in this, I'm going to, you know, if you're doing gotcha journalism, and look, I've done I do all kinds of podcast episode type of things. And one I did recently was because I got kind of down the rabbit hole of JFK, and I did a watch along of, what was it, 1967, CBS came out with the Warren Report, and they did a 4-part episode of this. So there was someone had posted this up, and it was Walter Cronkite, and it is horror. They're gaslighting the Americans at this point. And matter of fact, the last episode they do is, how come no one believes the Warren Report? Well, they just walked themselves through this, and they jumped to conclusions on everything. Now there's some that it's fine, but they it was horrible, right? And so I'm like, when you're jumping to conclusions the way you are, and then you wonder why people aren't believing you, and then you call them, you know, conspiracy theories or whatnot. You've been doing this for years, as soon as TVs come about. And so we're seeing this COVID happen, right? Yeah, it's and by the way, they make it worse by hiding everything and acting like, you know, COVID's completely going to destroy the world if you don't wear masks, whatnot, and the vax is going to save you. And then it just leads to, when the results do come out and the things are different, to everyone saying, you know, top lobster, my friend, who says, you know, anytime someone dies, were they vaxxed? You know, that's what he's out there saying. Cause so it just kind of feeds them. Then they go like, oh, look at all these crazy people. Well, you've kind of made them. And the you know, the media is complicit. And I'm sure some of the other stories we're going to talk about just shows that even more.
Well, I just thought about, you know, that one stand-up comedian, I think his name's like Heather McDonald. She was doing a stand-up routine or whatever, and just middle of it.
Fell.
Yeah, she just collapsed, whatever. And I don't know 100% if that was because she had taken the vaccine. I'm sure she was one of those with like, you got to take the vaccine, obviously, because
she was doing a joke at the time about that.
Right.
And about how she had taken it. And then she, that's what the craziness of that video was. One, female comedian. And then two, that she was making a joke about this at the time and then collapsed. So you couldn't script it any better. It was crazy.
Yeah. I think, and she just did like an interview, I think it was with NBC News, I believe, where they're trying to make her be some kind of victim because she's getting all this hate from all these anti-vax. You're just like, nobody gives a shit about Heather McDonald other than this time. Never knew who she was before this. Then when she fell on her fat ass, that's when people started knowing, now she's going to forever be known as that lady that class because she was talking about her vaccine joke. She was saying her vaccine joke and then bam.
Right. I mean, it's karma. That's what happens. Careful.
Yeah. Well, I guess speaking of karma, like Bud Light has been in the news. And part of me has been, and I don't know how you feel about this whole controversy, whatever, where, you know, they have had to have this, this Dylan Mulley, la 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 person be the spokesman or whatever, spokesperson, spokes trainee, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And, so a lot of the conservatives, you know, Kid Rock with his, oh, let me shoot some, Dan Crenshaw, where, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. Hey, maybe I'm going to take all the Bud Light out of my little mini fridge. And he takes it. Oh, I don't have any. Well, actually, stupid. There's beer in there that are owned by Anheuser-Busch. You probably should have researched that before you shot that video, stupid. But anyway, Anheuser-Busch just came out with an apology of some kind. I mean, I don't know if you would consider it an apology, but we'll read it together and we'll see what you feel about it. So Anheuser-Busch starts out as it's a picture of their whole thing here. And it says our responsibility to America. As the CEO of a company founded in America's heartland more than 165 years ago, I am responsible for ensuring every consumer feels proud of the beer we brew.
No.
We're honored. We're honored. Yeah, yeah. No, I hate my beer. That's why we're not, you know.
I'm proud of this liquid that gets me hammered and could bang through four different whores at the tavern. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. We're honored to be part of the fabric of this country. Anheuser-Busch employs more than 18,000 people, and our independent distributors employ an additional 47,000 valued colleagues. We have thousands of partners, millions of fans, and a proud history supporting our communities, military, first responders, sports fans, and hardworking Americans everywhere. Yeah, I'm sure sports fans are really loving this right now.
Right.
We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. We are in the business of bringing people. There was a lady, I think it was like their VP of marketing, talking about, oh, we need inclusivity. We need more inclusivity. And it's like, come on, really? My time serving this country taught me the importance of accountability and the values upon which America was founded: freedom, hard work, and respect for one another. As CEO of Anheuser-Busch, I am focused on building and protecting our remarkable history and heritage. I care deeply about this country, this company, our brands, and our partners. I spend much of my time traveling across America, listening to and learning from our customers, distributors, and others. Moving forward, I will continue to work tirelessly to bring great beers to consumers across our nation. And it was signed by the CEO of Anheuser-Busch. So what are your initial thoughts on that?
I was thinking, I'm trying to remember who the old guy was that used to be part of Anheuser-Busch. And I thought of the word Adolf, and I was like, no, that was Adolf Coors. And you got to have a cool name to be part of the old beer. Yeah. InBev, I think, has bought Anheuser-Busch, and they own so many different beers. Coors. I think they bought Coors out as well. So, you know, we didn't do this to divide. No, you didn't, but you did. You took a side. This is obviously what's happening. If you can't read the tea leaves of what America is going through right now in the trans situation. And this came out right after the shooting. I mean, it was so poorly done on their part. Me, I don't know if you drink beer. I do, not a ton, but I'm bougie enough where I don't drink Coors or Anheuser-Busch. I drink all these little microbrews that are done, you know, local ones here. Hmm. Not for any other reason than I just, these are the kind of beers I like. But it served me well in a time like now where I don't have to act like I'm, you know, all up in arms over Anheuser-Busch and the Bud Light thing. The reason they're doing this is fewfold. One, I heard drivers were just, you know, delivering their stuff were disgusted and they were like having a problem. They've lost, I don't know how many billion, I think it was, you know, not a small market cap that they, in the stock market, their stock fell and a bunch of other stuff. So, look, it's what's so interesting. You know, Dave has talked about it. Clint has talked about this ESG stuff and how back when Wall Street was having some issues back in 2008, Dave Smith's idea is that all these big companies decided, you know what, how we get everyone, you know, the right seems to hate the bankers, the left seems to hate the bankers. Let's do this woke stuff and kind of, you know, push it out there in a sense of almost getting it off of our backs. And I think that's somewhat correct, but it also you're seeing this ESG score stuff go crazy and all these companies are going on the woke route and they think that's the way to go. And the only way to really push back on them is to kill them in the pocketbook, where at some point their shareholders and their employees, you know, you've got shares in your own, you know, your company stock and you're an employee too, and you're seeing that get tanked. You might have something to say about it. I don't know if that's the real reason or if they just started to maybe see Dylan Mulvaney's actual videos and decided that, this guy's a bit of a creep. I don't know what the real reason was. But that's kind of my take. I don't know that I care, but it is interesting to see like the Crenshaws of this world. You know, the right really likes to jump on these kind of things and make almost a bigger deal about it. So I don't know. You drink an Anheuser-Busch or Bud Light or any of that?
I haven't drank any beer in quite some time. So I am not the target audience for this.
Right. And I'm not either. So, yeah. But what'd you think of the Kid Rock shooting the thing? Cause at first I was like, okay, you know, it's what it is. Right. And then my friend's like, would you go buy that? They still got the money. And I'm like, right. He probably had that in his fridge already. Yeah. And then he just go and shoot it. Although Kid Rock, he probably like tell someone to go out and buy me, you know, a 64 pack or something. Who knows? What'd you think of that though?
I mean, I guess he's a good shot, I suppose. I don't know, but
okay, I like that.
I mean, Kid Rock, it's just like, oh yeah, all right, see you later. They already got your money. Even if it wasn't you directly, you had someone else do it. Because I mean, right. Kid Rock, you're whatever. But I don't know, and like Dylan Mulvaney is like this. Even before all this was happening, all before his, oh, I'm a girl now. You know, he was an actor. So clearly either he's doing this obviously for attention or he really is that fucked up in the head where he's like, oh, maybe the only way I can get attention is, oh, well, we got to do this inclusivity thing. So maybe if I become a lady, people will start noticing me more and trying to act. I mean, he's trying to act like a woman in like the most hyper over the top way. Like, yeah, because all women act like that. You know,
right. Like if my wife acted like that, I might resort to domestic violence. That's an if.
Yeah,
so now she's tougher, and I can't do that. So if she were acting like that, yeah, I know I could take her at that point.
Right. So I've seen people. I saw someone. I can't remember who it was, but they came with their own beer in response to this, like in response to this whole campaign thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been, it's like with like Jeremy's razors and then the Jeremy's chocolate thing with the Hershey's. It's like you're continuously just release it. Why do you have to wait for someone to do something you didn't like? Just to release it. Hey, I'm Jeremy from Daily Wire. Here's a razor that you can go buy for me. Cool. Awesome. Because he has an audience. They will do that. Not just because, oh, Harry's Razors is being woke now. Okay, I'll buy your not because of the fact that you're a superior product.
But as someone who used to be, you know, quite the conservative, that's the way you hook them, though. They love to I mean, when that happened, I made fun of the chocolate, too, because I'm just like, it's, of course, someone out there, one of their minions, he's making millions of dollars because he is freaking you out about something, and then he's capitalizing. And good for him, but also you're so stupid. this is what it reminded me of, the Freedom Fries, or buy Heinz ketchup back in the day because John Kerry was part of that. I mean, life's tough.
Isn't it crazy how it's all like flipped around? Mm-hmm. You know, before, like you were saying, the Freedom Fries, it was all these like conservatives. Now it's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess in a way, maybe it is the same, because I was just talking about how conservatives are reacting to progressives doing all this woke campaigning. And then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I have a he, him, and a she, her. Guess which one has the nuts?
Hey, so, we could start selling nuts, some sort of libertarian nuts or something.
I think Clay Travis, I think he came up with his own beer. I don't know if I'm pretty sure it was because of this, like it was because of this whole thing, whatever. And I mean, I don't know how long, if he was doing this beforehand, but he's like, oh shit, this is a perfect opportunity to release now, because this is red hot. This whole issue is coming out. Now I can sell even more. But you're Clay Travis. You have an audience. You could pretty much sell anything, and people will be like, I like Clay Travis. I'm going to sell, or I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Sammy Hagar, he has his own vodka, I think, or something. You know, he didn't need something like this to come along. And I don't know if he would care, but you just release it, and you've got a big name, and that's the way you do it. But yeah, I'm wondering what the next. I did see Angela McArdle. She's releasing some sort of anti-woke makeup line. So, what if you're a drag queen and you wear makeup, but you're tired of the woke? So would you use her makeup? That's a dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, like it's been in the planning stages for some time. But I mean, again, even so, you're using that as kind of like, okay, so I'm going to use this as like a jumping off point where I probably will sell more. But I do think some of the reactions to her releasing this and announcing that she's going to come with this new makeup line, all these people, all these libertarians are like, what? You're the chair of the, how is this going to help the Libertarian Party? I'm like, yeah, because Libertarian Party, they truly need some help. They really do need some of that help.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't have a, I like Angela. I've met her many times. We've conversed. She's great. I have no problem. Fine, go ahead. But my point is, I don't know that she's releasing it because there's an issue out there right now. So maybe, and by the way, all these people, you know, flood the market. That's perfectly fine. We need more of these kind of things. While I'm in agreement that I'm not buying the Bud Light, and I think it's stupid what they did. In the same respect, I'm also just, I don't know if I care, but yet it is. I see the benefits of pushing back. So, you know, it's kind of a Trump gets indicted, right? And you're like,
right.
The right will never, why not? Why aren't they like doing the same kind of thing in some of these other districts that they could go after Hunter Biden? You know, there's a bunch of illegal stuff on his laptop, right? Get another DA out there that's going to prosecute him. And then, you know, it's like, oh, it's a whirlwind. But I'm like, what if you have so much of this that it's almost like mutually assured destruction, where they maybe stop doing this? And for a while, we need some entertainment, and we need a lot of prosecutions. Maybe it's the same kind of thing with the woke stuff, right? The business, Bud Light's doing this, and then another company is going to maybe go down. And at some point, maybe we'll see that pendulum swing back, and we'll just have regular gay beer like Bud Light.
I mean, you do make a fair point where if just flooding the market without kind of just having to be reactionaries as opposed to revolutionaries, you know, where – okay, there's going to be different things that you can put. If you don't like this product because you don't like the messaging or their campaigning, then just go over here. You don't have to always, it doesn't have to be like the thing that you're focusing on. Oh, we're the anti-Bud Light beer, so buy our beer. What does it taste like? I don't even know what it is. Like, I don't know. Just because you're anti this doesn't mean it's
good. And you know, you get in trouble with that. I mean, was it Black Rifle Coffee? You know, they were kind of the right wing coffee, and then something happened with them. I think it was BLM, and suddenly they're out of sorts with everybody. So maybe you don't need to be such, you know, Patriot Coffee or whatever it is. I mean, but then again, I have Libertarian Podcast Review, so I am all about niche type of things. So who am I to tell anybody what to do?
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, like, you know, speaking of, I guess, libertarian infighting, because for libertarians, it's just another Tuesday. There's going to be infighting between libertarians and libertarian adjacent people. That's just how it is. A big story that's come out is this guy, Torreira, I believe is how you pronounce it. I'm probably way off on that, but he leaked some documents over on Discord, or however he decided to do it. So one of your tweets, I'm going to go to just read your tweet. So you say, how does, and Glenn Beck here, actually, let me read that first before I read yours. For those who are just listening, the leaked Pentagon documents revealed what the government was doing in your name without your knowledge. We should all be asking why we were never told. And so you quoted him and you said, how does Glenn Beck get it and Brad Palumbo doesn't? In fact, like the Twitter files, those wanting to keep the control in place go after the whistleblowers or those talking about what's being revealed. And you mentioned Matt Taibbi, Schellenberger, and Greenwald instead of about what's in the documents, which is a good point, because Mehdi Hasan and Matt Taibbi had their little thing where Taibbi went on Mehdi Hasan's show. And from my understanding, Mehdi Hasan basically was like, well, Matt Taibbi, he wasn't really talking about what was actually in it. He was just talking about the fact that why would you even do this type of thing, whatever. And correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm getting that interpretation wrong, but that's just from what I, from my understanding of the whole thing. So I guess kind of talk about that a little bit, like what this leaked document whole thing, because you say in your, said, how does Glenn Beck get it and Brad Palumbo doesn't? And I guess Brad Palumbo had a tweet, and again, I'm paraphrasing, so I don't have the tweet in front of me, but Brad basically said, and I've seen other people too, like that Josh Ekel guy, they were kind of saying the same thing, where they were saying, well, Edward Snowden did it this way. He was kind of doing it the way where he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to go through the proper channels. But this guy was just like, here it is in Discord. Look at this. Awesome. Look at what I found. Look at what I'm going to share with everybody here in Discord. And they were complaining at the fact that they didn't like how he did it. So he shouldn't be deemed a hero.
Yep.
Which, if you're leaking government information to where it's specifically about the government doing something really bad. I mean, obviously when you're a libertarian, you're anti-government. That's kind of how it is. But when it's something like pretty blatant, then I don't see the problem with that. Like, yeah, I want to know, what are they doing that's going to make my life harder than it is? I mean, I'm fortunate to live in America. I mean, America is awesome. It's the greatest country on earth, but we're not allowed to talk about its problems either.
Yeah. No, you've said it exactly right. And you go back to it, what, you know, kind of what I was talking about with the gaslighting, even back from, you know, the CBS report of the Warren report back in 1967 or whenever it was, reminded me once again of Taibbi and these guys. They go into, you know, in front of Congress, and at least the GOP there is asking the right questions about what's in the document. And all the left is doing at the time, they're saying, oh, you're a sellout, you're this and this. And it's the way to demean, you know, you could call them someone, oh, he's alt-right or what have you. And then suddenly you don't need to listen to what they're saying anymore. Like, somehow this reporting, and they can look at the documents, you know, I'm sure, go look at the reporting. And that's what, what's the guy, Hasan something on MSNBC that had Taibbi on the other day, you know, he could have looked at those things, and he did look at them because he had some corrections. But the thing you should be asking is, why is the government getting involved here? And, you know, there's plenty of stuff in those documents to show the right was also doing things. You know, I think Donald Trump had asked for people's Twitters to, you know, be, you know, banned or whatnot. There's definitely other people as well. So you can have like a united front, but it's interesting that they're just going after the reporters. In this case, we've got this Wiener kid. He's a National Guard and part-time. How's he even getting in these documents? That's weird aspect of it. But yeah, so they're saying, oh, his, as we say in law, mens rea, his thought his intent behind it was somehow not pure like Snowden. Therefore, you should just kind of discard this. And that's really what Brad Palumbo was doing as well. And I was like, let's say he was Chelsea Manning and wanted to go through a transition. Would you then take him serious? Because I don't know if Brad Palumbo, what his standards are. But, you know, that Josh Eichel was doing the same thing. And I was listening to another podcast today. It's The Fifth Column. Guys are pretty good. And they started off on the same thing, talking about this Matt Teixeira, not, you know, giving him just to his buddies, trying to look cool. But they just did that kind of up front. And that, yeah, he's not quite like Snowden's intent. But then the rest of, and that was just like a snip. Okay, so you get an idea. But then they talked about what's in the documents and the importance of all that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was great. Why not? You can find, everyone wants to know about this kid. I have no problem with that. But what are we learning from there? Are they important? You know, are there people are lying to us about getting into war or not? You know, but then Tucker called. And by the way, we don't really know. I've had, from what I can tell, it's people are having a hard time actually seeing the documents. So I don't know if they've been scrubbed. You know, it'd suck if some people were killed because of this, you know, giving away troop positions or whatnot. But if we're, and I don't know, Tucker Carlson said that we're actually actively fighting over there. I don't know if that's the case. So there's, it's hard to tell what the whole situation is, but there are definitely some things going on. I think, I heard one thing mentioned, you know, just cause there's all kinds of things, not just about Ukraine, but that the Mossad was trying to push riots or protests for against Netanyahu. So there's some weird stuff going over in Israel. Either way, the press here to me seems woefully just inadequate. And once again, doing the things that they're doing, which is not taking the subject matter unless it's something that's going to hurt Trump. Because it's ridiculous. I mean, if this was coming the other way, if Trump was in office, you would really be talking about how his State Department failed, right? They these leaks happened and you'd be talking about all kinds of stuff like that instead. And I think you're probably going to talk about it here because I also had a tweet about this, which is, okay, so the government can't keep their secrets. Therefore, we're gonna try to crack down on Americans' security and push the Restrict Act even more because why? Well, because we can't keep our documents under control. It's insanity.
Yeah, I think that I think it is kind of interesting how they got this kid almost, it seems like almost immediately.
Yeah.
After this whole thing happened, it was like, oh, we found a boom. Okay, now we're gonna put
him.
Well,
I don't think he was too bright. That's part of it too. I think he was in this Discord with some friends. Evidently, he had been taking pictures of stuff he had, and there was parts of his house that you could. So, I mean, you know, people found Shia LaBeouf off of on Fortran, set them on fire. They'll find anybody.
So. Man, what are you doing? Is it? Yeah, like you're talking about the you're mentioning Shia LaBeouf. And he did that little. The flag. Oh, where's this flag at? People are finding.
Right.
That was a good moment in history. But yeah, that is kind of retarded to just take pictures. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just completely sloppy. It's such a mess and you get caught so easily. What's in the documents is important to, and it's just another layer of, oh, the government is being shitty. Wow. What in the guess? Oh man, there's something the government's not doing great. Wow.
I did hear too, Brian McWilliams was talking about this. And he played a clip of, Andrew Napolitano, Judge Knapp, had some former CIA guy. And evidently he's saying, look, one of the documents that they're showing is CIA generated and it would not be disseminated outside of that. And there's no way a military person, let alone a National Guardsman, would have this. Now he just puts that out there and then we could run with it, which is, oh, this is some sort of PSYOP, right? They're trying to set this up. Maybe this kid, maybe he was set up, maybe he's part of it. I don't know what the point is other than it seems impossible or improbable that he would have these documents that he was supposed to had without some sort of help. You know, Governor Whitner type of thing where, you know, the FBI is maybe involved or CIA somehow getting this out there to cause, who knows, a Restrict Act. That's the only thing I could really think about. You know, they're trying to crack down on Americans now. I don't know. What do you think about that possibility?
I mean, anything's possible. So that it being a PSYOP and this person being some kind of CIA agent or something along those lines, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, we learn about the Whitmer thing being a whole FBI plot right. thing or whatever. Right. So yeah, that would not surprise me at all. If that's what it ended up being.
Or it could just be a dumb kid.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, because like you're saying, hey, maybe the CIA is like, hey, take pictures of your house right. and post it on Discord. You know, that, right. that very secure website, Discord. Just, yeah, post it on there. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, because I have no brain cells in my brain, so I'll go and do it, yeah.
Even I know not to do that.
Right, so. Yeah. So, I don't know. I do think... I do think that it's just, yeah, if they're using this guy as a scapegoat and they're trying to make this, I try to distract us from something more major or something else that's going on that they don't want us to talk about, because this is probably going to be on the news for a while. It's like the Trump indictment thing. They're yeah. trying to have that be in the news, whatever. And then I talked about this last time with Clint on the show, where I was just like, so wait, his next hearing is in December. So now we got to wait until December for his next physical hearing. I mean, you know more about this than I do. Is that usually how long it takes for between physical hearings? Like, is that how it goes?
Well, so you have usually your right to a speedy trial, easy 21 days, and I'm sure they waived that. So both parties need some, I mean, if you're going to actually try to litigate this, and by the way, Trump, what he's going to do, he's probably going to look for some way to have it dismissed on a bunch of technical grounds. And to do so, you're going to need some time to draft some things up. So that's why they do. And then they put it on the docket instead of getting it right in line to have a speedy trial. And it's New York, it's Manhattan, there's a lot of cases. So yeah, it's not abnormal to have something like that. You know, I deal with like three or four different counties where I'm at. In one county, you could get into trial pretty quick. One county, you know, if I were to file something for a trial right now, I'm in, you know, a year and a half. So, you know, I don't know what their standard is over there, but that's not at all out of the ordinary that I would imagine, especially for a big city. The question is, how does that play with the election? And I just don't, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if it gets knocked out in the first place. There's so many grounds that they can push this thing. And we don't need to necessarily get into the Trump indictment. I did an episode just on that last week, and I just posted it out. So if you guys want to check that out, you can, where I go into a lot of detail of what the actual issues are and what I think the grounds are that he could get that dismissed. Or you could go to Tom Woods. He just did it with Robert Barnes, and it's much more graceful and intensive than I could do. So. That might be your best bet. I don't do criminal law. So
I just wanted to also mention about what we were talking about with the document leaks, or whatever. There was like this press conference with, I think it was a general or something. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but instead of talking about what was leaked and all that stuff, the journalists were actually complaining about the fact that, hey, this shouldn't happen again. Like they weren't talking about, oh, the way the government's corrupt. Oh, let's ask some questions about it. No, they were completely like that was not even a thought or a question that they were even going to even mention. It was, oh, hey, so why was the government doing this? Why is all this happening? Why were they spying on the South Korean president? Apparently South Korea doesn't mind about that, which is like, I mean, what? But I don't know that whole thing where I didn't look into it too much, so I'm looking at this from a surface level, but the fact that just from that, where they were saying, oh, the journalists weren't even asking any questions about that, they were actually complaining that this was even happening in the first place.
Yeah, their inability to have some sort of legitimate curiosity is baffling. I'm trying to remember, it was a Pentagon in general, and he's there. Yeah. And you know, I saw a splice cut where it was just all the questions that they asked him. And you're exactly right. It's, you know, why not say, push back and say, hey, how does this happen? You know, what right. about security or whatever? But yeah, then there was a guy, I don't know if he was, he wasn't in a general's uniform. I'm trying to, Curry, I think his name is. And he was saying, look, whether these documents are verified or not, they shouldn't be out there. If they are verified, then they shouldn't be out there because they're secret. And if they aren't verified, then they shouldn't be out there because it's misinformation. And I'm like, and the press is just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's that. Yeah, wow, we don't want that. So crazy.
Misinformation, because the press never releases misinformation ever.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I couldn't believe that was like, I thought you were supposed to be journalists. You're supposed to be asking tough questions. That's the whole point. Regardless of who you're at, like who's in front of you, you're supposed to be asking tough questions. Not what's your favorite ice cream flavor. You know, like you're supposed to be asking things that, oh wow, that's really interesting. Okay, so can you elaborate on why blah 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 blah? But no, we're gonna talk about
Trump broke their brains, and they took a lot of, I think they did some introspection, and they thought that he won the 2016 election because of them. So therefore they're not going to let that happen again. So it's like Hitler got into office. So they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that doesn't happen. And, you know, you look back in the good old days, it doesn't matter who was in power, you know, the press was antagonistic and going to take you down no matter who you are, which I would actually prefer now rather than, you know, play one side against the other or, you know, just play for one side. It's not good.
Those were good times though. When Trump and the press would talk, that was always popcorn ready. Oh, I got popcorn ready for this. This is gonna be great.
Right.
Like the last thing we'll briefly mention before we go, is like kind of like you were talking about your kill pod and everything that here at the beginning. How is that kind of differentiate from your regular podcast and you know what else you got going on coming up?
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes just talking politics all the time gets a little bit much, right? So you got to have some humor.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Right. So, I like to make jokes. So, I bring Andy on. And he's actually really good for me because we can talk serious stuff. Garbage Man on Twitter, if you guys know who he is, he's been blocked probably by more women than are on Twitter. but he's fantastic. He's a really good guy and he's smart. And so anyway, we come and we talk heady stuff, but then we make complete jokes. So the Kill Pod was one thing we try to do once a month. And just in general, we try to have a little bit more light-hearted shows. And it's we bring a main guest on. We've had Josh Smith came on. Clint Russell was on. Top Lobster was on our last time. And we just talked. The topic was only conspiracy theories. So you had a minute to come on, talk about your conspiracy theory. And then so it's been good. Try to do more of those kind of things. I think the best way to kind of find our stuff is go to Rumble, because that seems to be doing better for us than any of the others. Just type LPR and it'll bring up Libertarian Podcast Review. And subscribe there and then follow us for everything else. Matter of fact, any of you out there, when we do these, check out our Twitter feed and you can sign up to be on those Kill Podcast shows. And they're a lot of fun.
Sweet. Yeah. Maybe at some point I'll have to do that.
Yeah. We'll totally slot you in.
Oh, sweet. All right. I guess we'll go and just end it there. Tyler, really appreciate you coming on and talking about your podcast and all the latest goings on in the world. It was quite a good time. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, for everyone watching and listening, please tune in next week. I meant to do this the last week to say that you were coming on as my guest, but brain fart. So my apologies. Whoops. But I didn't forget this time. But our guest scheduled to be on next week is the Ranting Monkey. So really looking forward to that. Can't wait for that. It's an actual monkey is going to come on. So I'm really looking forward to talking to a monkey. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. He might throw some shit at me. I don't know. We'll see. So tune in for that and subscribe to the show. And yeah, that's it. So, all right, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like
button. Just break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.